In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Mm-hmm. It is time for us to talk movies. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joins us every Monday for Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by the Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Good day, Mr. Adams.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
Outstanding. Your Monday is going all right so far?
So far, so good. Yeah, no, it's been a busy one, but busy's okay. That's
another right. Weekend of terrific performances from what we're hearing about Ugly Lies the Bone at PTC.
Yeah, no, that's another week bites the dust. We only got one more, so if you haven't seen it yet, you should get out there Wednesday through Sunday down at the Bangor Opera House. It's worth the price of admission, 100%. Like it's the sort of show you don't often get to see round these parts, and so leap at the opportunity while you've got it.
There you go. Indeed. So Alan, you still managed to get to a couple of movies this weekend. What do you want to start with?
I did. Let's start with Pacific Rim Uprising.
I have to say the original I didn't think I would like it. That was an outstanding movie.
Well, that's the thing. The great thing about Pacific Rim is it's not only is it giant robots fighting giant monsters, which my inner 14-year-old is always going to love, but it was made by Guillermo del Toro, and it was sort of infused with that sort of his sort of highbrow attitude towards genre film in a way that I think really elevated the overall product. While Mr. Del Toro is a producer on this sequel, he's not involved in any other way. The actual director, a gentleman by the name of Stephen DeKnight, this is his feature debut as a director. Mm. He's got a long history in writing for television, but as far as he's directed a few episodes of things, but this is his first feature film. It seems like a weird place to start.
Yeah.
To each their own, I suppose. You can tell it's someone who isn't necessarily super confident in their skin as a director. This movie is basically the first movie kind of over again in a lot of ways. the star this time around is John Boyega, who I love. He's very talented. He plays Jake Pentecost, who is the son of the General Pentecost, played by Idris Elba in the first movie, who sacrificed himself to save us all from the extra-dimensional terror monsters from beyond the deep. But, it's 10 years later. The world has kind of put itself back together again. But wouldn't you know it, trouble's brewing.
Ooh.
Trouble's brewing. Jake makes his way as a hustler. Like he bailed on the Jaeger the giant robot pilot program that he was a part of, abandoning his former best friend Nate, played by Scott Eastwood, in the process. But he winds up in the company of like this teenage girl, like robot prodigy, played by a young lady making her film debut. She's actually very good. And it turns out that there's this mysterious plot by the unknown alien beings that were sending these monsters through the dimensional rift on the ocean floor in the first place. And, well, you're going to have to put together a ragtag band of young, inexperienced pilots, and they're going to have to steer these robots to victory before the giant monsters throw themselves in a volcano and bring life on Earth to an end as we know it.
Yeah, that's the first one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close. It's fine. It's kind of a shoulder shrug of a movie, which, when you're talking about something like this, that's not necessarily the reaction you're looking to elicit. The action stuff is fine. Again, as I said, the next time I'm not delighted by giant robots fighting giant monsters will be the first time. So that stuff was fine. Maybe a little overly chaotic as far as that goes, but it was all right. The cast is good. Like Boyega is very, very good. He's one of those guys. You get a little whiff of movie star off him in this movie. Like we've already seen him capable of being a hero in this kind of, sort of franchise, sci-fi situation. it was nice to see him get the opportunity to be the main man. I think in a better movie, he would shine even brighter. I think don't be surprised if he makes the leap sometime fairly soon to really kind of elevate his game in terms of his already, you know, global fame. But yeah, he's got movie star potential, I think. So I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes from there. But otherwise, it's just like, I shouldn't be bored when I'm watching a movie like this. And I kind of was at points. Like, there was just not a lot of originality in the narrative. It was just kind of a little uninspired. But again, giant robots fighting giant monsters. So, you know, it's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
There you go. The other movie I'm intrigued to hear your thoughts on, because we have a terrific director in Steven Soderbergh, but an interesting way of making it, all shot, if I read right, on his iPhone. Right?
Yeah, no, it's Steven Soderbergh, which, by the way, remember when Steven Soderbergh said, I'm not going to make movies anymore?
Yeah. What happened to that?
Yeah, like he lasted like 6 months before he started making The Nick, but he made the return to feature filmmaking last year with Logan Lucky, which was excellent. I think he's reached the point in his career where he's like, well, if I'm gonna do this, I might as well, like, it just seems like he's just trying to keep himself from being bored, and so he's presenting, like, creating these sort of like these tasks for himself. He's almost like he's daring himself to do these things. But yeah, no, he shot this film. It's, you know, probably an hour and 40 minutes, this full on, like, you know, elevated B movie thriller on an iPhone. Like, that's what he did. And it's just, it's remarkable to think about the capabilities that this technology has. When you really stop and think, it's like, you know, that's a phone. Like, he's using his phone to make what turns out to be a, you know, a feature film. And there are some spots where it's a little choppy, and, like, it doesn't, the wide sort of establishing shots don't really translate particularly well as far as that goes. But the up close stuff, which is perfect for a thriller, really works well. The basic gist, and I don't want to say too much because it's got some twistiness to it. It's about a woman named Sawyer Valentini, played by Claire Foy, who's so great on The Crown. And she's this woman who, at first glance, has a pretty good life. She's got a new job at this financial firm, and, you know, she's got friends, and she, you know, talks to her mother every day and all this stuff. But you start to scratch at the surface, and you start to realize that something's a little off with Sawyer. And it turns out that all of this stuff is all brand new, because she's been trying to escape a stalker. She's been stalked for the previous, you know, couple of years or whatever, and so is trying to break free and start anew and all that stuff. But the anxiety that this is generating in her is causing her to question things and see things a little bit. So she goes to a medical health facility for just to talk to somebody, just to kind of talk things out. But inadvertently winds up signing paperwork that indicates that she has voluntarily committed herself. And then things start getting weird because she is already struggling with this fear that she's going to be found by her stalker. And she starts seeing him, like, in the facility. And she starts to question, you know, what is real and what is not. She doesn't know. She doesn't know where that dividing line is anymore, because despite her struggles, she finds herself sort of trapped in this facility. And despite every effort by, like, her mom, who's played by the excellent Amy Irving, and reaching out to other people, she just can't quite seem to find her way out. The only ally she has on the inside is a fellow patient by the name of Nate, played by Jay Farrow of SNL fame, who's actually surprisingly strong. Like, I would not have expected this kind of performance out of him, but he's very good. And we're left to see, watch her deal with sort of that struggle of determining, you know, is this real? Is this not? Am I actually seeing this guy? Is he here? Why? How could he possibly be here? How could he have found me? This and that. And working her way through that, through a number of interesting and sometimes predictable, but not always, sort of plot twists. And I dug it. Like, I was kind of surprised by how much I dug it. The iPhone thing could very easily have come off as gimmicky, like kind of a stunt. And at times it does a little bit, but for the most part, like I was saying, like especially the really close stuff, it's like it's there's a stripped down kind of rawness to it that I think is really well suited to making this kind of movie, because Soderbergh has never been afraid to really lean into like genre trappings and really kind of explore, you know, whether it's like the, you know, the exploitation stuff of like of Magic Mike, or like the action movie tropes that he looked at in Haywire, the, you know, stuff like Contagion and Side Effects, all that stuff. Like he brings that commitment to sort of elevating what isn't necessarily considered highbrow fare. And so with this, he's basically taking that sort of that lurid kind of B movie thriller and making it a Steven Soderbergh movie. Mm-hmm. And it's really pretty compelling to watch. It's not a perfect movie. It's got some flaws for sure, but Foy is excellent. Like, she's incredibly talented, and the idea of anyone like any less than what she gave, which was basically being out there for an hour and a half, randomly flipping switches to 11, like it did, like it just, and like just rapid fire, like moving back and forth, like this wild and occasionally over the top, but perfect for what you're making kind of performance. I don't know that there are a ton of actresses out there who are capable of doing something like that, and she made it look easy.
And so, a far cry from The Crown, huh?
Right? Like, it's such a drastic you know, shift in what she's doing. I mentioned Jay Farrow; he's wonderful. And then there's a really broad supporting cast that's unmemorable in the right way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you have some fellow patients and, you know, orderlies and all that. Like, it's a very full and populated world, but it's so centered on Sawyer and her, you know, and her concerns that stuff is kind of it's like soft focus in the background, which, again, I think is, you know, in most cases, that's not necessarily what you want. But for a movie like this, it's kind of perfect. And I know I'm coming off as a bit of a Soderbergh fanboy, and I think I am, but at the same time, it's like, it's a bold choice, like, and he's a guy who has clearly decided that regardless of what he does going forward, it's going to be on his own terms as opposed to terms set for him by, you know, financiers or studios or what have you. Like, he's going to do it his way, and I think his pocketbook might not benefit, but we certainly will.
Yeah, and because he's so good, he'll always get talented actors to work for him.
Exactly, including a brief cameo by Soderbergh favorite Matt Damon shows up.
Oh, nice.
in a brief cameo that I'm not going to talk about because it would give a little something away. But
Alan Adams breaking it down for us on Past the Popcorn. By the way, we talked about it a little last week, but I hadn't read your piece on fantasy baseball. That was just great.
Well, thank you.
Enjoyed
yeah.
that a lot.
Yeah, it's you know, this weekend I'm gonna finish filling out the roster of my trash team. I look forward to finishing in a strong ninth.
Let's practice. Jose Altuve, 45. You go 46, Al.
Oh God,
Altuve.
I know. I love him so much. I've been doing some budgeting exercises, and so we'll see how things play out, but. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I have no idea what's gonna happen because I need everybody. I'm rebuilding.
Yeah, I have two catchers.
There you go.
And I don't worry about catchers.
Yeah, I got one. I got one good one. I got Gary Sanchez, and then a whole lot of nothing. But
yep.
That's okay. All right. Don't forget Alan this week's final weekend of performances. Ugly Lies the Bone at Penobscot Theater. Go check that out as well. Alan, thanks. We'll see you Wednesday.
Hey, my pleasure. Yes, you will.